Omer Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, that Shmuel said, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer. When we've got Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, it means Rav Nachman said that Shmuel said, but it means that he heard it directly from Shmuel. And Shmuel, it doesn't say Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer said, because Shmuel didn't hear it directly from Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer. He got it by a tradition that this is what Rabbi Elozer said. That's why he said, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer. Chachomim titnu rohem libeus Yisroel abesula mosayim velo almona mono. We are trying to find a reason why, if he said, according to Shmuel, if he said Pesach Posuach Motzosi, that it is ne'emon, he is believed to make a lulav sido kesuboso, so Rav Nachman says that he heard it, that he heard Shmuel saying in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer that it is the kesubas isho is a takones chachomim, that they gave to a besulo 200 and 200 mona, v'heim he'eminuhu, and they believed him, she'im oma pesach posuach motzosi ne'emon, that if he said pesach posuach motzosi, he is believed. So the peshat of it is that if they introduce the takona, if they enact a law, then they are permitted to make the regulation. Says Pesach Pesuach Motzos, there is a chazoka in Orem Terech Bisseudo Mafsot Vafsido. Says the Gemara, Ano, we have learned in the Belabrai, how it knas chachomim hu, since a kesuba is a knas chachomim, that is, it is a penalty which the chachomim instituted, leusig ba elomina ziburis, then she can claim only from the ziburis. If it is the obligation that he has is an obligation from the Torah, then the claim on the part of the person who claims, the claim is from Idis, from the very best, from prime. But since it's midrabbonon, the claim is only from third grade, from ziburis. Says the Gemara, Knoso, you say it's a penalty. My Knoso, what is the penalty? Elo, but says the Gemara, Amo, I will tell you, I say, Hoilu tekonas chachomimu, since not, don't say that it is a knas chachomim, that it is a penalty of the chachomim. Since it is a takona of the chachomim, lo sigba el min aziburis, therefore she claims only from aziburis. And that's the end of piece of Gemara, and I explained to you that it's a strange piece of Gemara. The havamina of the Gemara is, the presupposition of the Gemara is that it is a penalty, that the kesuba is a penalty. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? He hasn't done any wrong. How can it be a penalty? Says the Gemara, no, it's not a penalty. It is a tekona. You know, there's got to be some havamina. What would you think of me if I instituted a case against a certain company for $10 million? And then afterwards, I say no, $5. So, from $10 million to $5, so, $5 is my claim. So what was my presupposition that it's $10 million? Must be something. If there is nothing, then the whole thing is mad. The Chachomim want to say there's a penalty here. What? And the says, what penalty is a kesuba? Says, no, it's not a penalty, it's a tekonas Chachomim. But look at the gulf between a penalty and an enactment. So I explained to you that what the, you've got to understand what a kesuba is. And in order to understand the kesuba, one has to understand what a woman is and the whole nature of the woman and of marriage. a man can have two types of association with a woman. The one is a casual association and the one is a permanent association. A casual association is znus. A permanent association, that is marriage. Now, what the Gemara is careful about is that even in marriage, there can be which is a permanent association, it can be a casual, there can be something that is casual about it. For example, how can it be? A woman is always at a disadvantage vis-a-vis the man when it comes to living together with a man. When she lives together with a man, let us say it's a casual association, she can become pregnant. And if she becomes pregnant, he can say, hard luck, it's your lookout, can't help you. Not only that, she becomes pregnant, she gets a child, he can say, look here, I'm not accustomed to all this. Not my way of life. I can't have all these commitments and you've got no time to do it for me. Goodbye, I'm off. And that worries her all the time. A woman ages before a man. And she thinks of it. So what's going to happen to me afterwards? And that can be not only in a casual association, that can be also in a permanent association. A woman can think, we're learning this Gemara, that it's speaking before there was a Gesuba. That means a man marries a woman, he gives her a ring, he says, Ariat Mekudeshesli for Dabazu Kadas Majeb Israel, there is a chuppah, and he lives with her. What kind of a living is it with her if she is always afraid? The least little bit thing he can divorce her. And what has she got? She's got no security. If she's got no security, then, as far as she is concerned, there is a flaw in the permanency of the relationship. Who is the cause of the flaw of the permanency in the relationship?
He is.
She doesn't trust it altogether. He's a very nice person, but you know what human nature is? I'll get children. I won't look so nice anymore. I get older. So what happens to me? He can just divorce me like that. Which means she doesn't give herself completely. She doesn't give herself completely to him. If she doesn't give herself completely to him, there is something casual even in the permanency of the relationship. So, and who is the cause of it? He says the Gemara, that is why the Kesuba was instituted. The Kesuba was instituted that there should be a permanency in it. Why is it necessary? You're the cause of it. So the Gemara says, for a penalty, a man must do something wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong yet. So there's no penalty. Says the Gemara, no, it's enactment. But you can understand why the enactment was introduced. The enactment was introduced in a way that it's sailing very, very close to what is actually a penalty. Is that clear?
Is that really the power of Shabdu Chachamim?
Well, Shabdu Chachamim, Artikon is Benez Yisroel, it's not that only.
It seems somewhat similar to the
there we'll have again, on the next page we've got something very similar again. And that is, there is the covered that one has to be. And the Chachomim are very, very careful about the cover that one gives a Bas Yisrael. Very, very careful. There is the laws concerning the covered that a man must show his own wife. So the Gemara says, and it's a deen, the Rambam Paskins, that is the aloha, that is the deen. A man must love his wife as he loves himself. And a man must honor his wife more than he honors himself. And that is a deen. And it regards every Bas Yisrael. The way one must honor a Bas Yisrael, one must honor a Bas Yisrael. You know, and this is not gallantry. Don't confuse it with gallantry. This is kibud, being makabe. And the, I beg pardon?
I'm thinking of the Mizmor called Kvud HaBat Melech Pnima.
That's right. That's right. That is called Kvud HaBat Melech Pnima. Called the Bat Melech. Then you see the word Kovod. The word Kovod comes from a root which means Kovod. Which is Kovod. One attaches importance to it. And the word kobed is weighty. It's weighty. And the word important also means weighty. You can't importare, you can't just move it about. It can't be shifted about. And in Yiddish you say a person, a wichtiger mensch. What is a wichtig? He's a weighty person. Weighty person. So it's common in all these languages.
Gravitas.
I was just going to say that. Yes, the same. And in Latin you've got gravitas.
We have a dumb Baal Mishkal in modern Hebrew.
So it's all the same thing. And it's an importance that we touch. And the importance is you just don't shift it about, make short trip with her. There's an importance about it. And I just want to tell you that all right, that will come up later. So why is it so important? Why is it so very, very important? That will come up later. But that is, a man must honor his wife more than himself. And by honoring his wife, he's got to see, as far as food is concerned, eat less than you can afford. And dress better than you can afford. So if you dress better than you can afford, it means you are living above your means. So how is the shortfall made up? The shortfall is made up what you save in your food. You dress, you eat below your means, and you dress over your means. And how much more so does that apply to a wife? But things that one has to be very, very careful about. That is the deen, that is the aloha. The aloha is that one must honor one's wife more than one honors oneself. More than one honors oneself. I remember my uncle, Tzadik Kibrocho, he would never buy anything new for himself until he had made sure that my aunt had something for herself. Whatever it was, it could be a shirt, it could be anything. Never until he made quite sure that she had. She came first. So that's the way a man must honor his wife more than he honors himself. Now that is all part of this, but I'm trying to tell you what the idea of the Kesuvah is. The idea of the Kesuvah is really, I mean, it's basic to the marriage to such an extent that if a woman, the Kesuvah belongs to the woman, and if the woman, the wife, lost the Kesuvah, she lost it. Can happen. If she lost the Kesuvah, then another Kesuvah must be written. And that Kesuvah is called Kesuvah de Irchasa. A Kesuvah that has been lost. That means to replace a kesuba that has been lost. Kesuba is a kesuba, the irtasa, that's an Aramaic word, which means a kesuba that has been lost. And he isn't allowed to live with his wife as long as she hasn't got a kesuba. That's a deen. As long as she hasn't got a kesuba, she lost a kesuba, she found out tonight that she did, this afternoon, and they've got to go and get another kesuba made, and he can't manage to do it now, he goes out of the house. Until tomorrow he writes a kesuba, and that, and then he goes back to that. Because if she hasn't got a kesuba, she hasn't got her security. And if she hasn't got a security, there is a flaw in the permanency of the marriage. And if there is a flaw in the permanency of the marriage, it means that she doesn't give herself completely to her husband. And that's not a marriage. And that is the way it works. So it's quite simple. Right. Have you got it there? All right. Says the Gemara, let us do the Rashi on there. Chachomim tiknu le'isho kloma, that means to say, I havi a kesubosa de'araisa lo havi nemo nafkio elo ba'edus yeduo. If the kesuba had been nidor aisa from the Torah, then he wouldn't have been believed to remove the kesuba or to reduce the kesuba only with recognized evidence. Avol kesuboso chachomim tiknuho. But according to this memra, the kesuba is an enactment of the chachomim. Heim omru vaheim omru. They said and they said. Now, heim omru vaheim omru is a principle. That is, if the chachomim do it, then they create regulation. Heim omru said and they said. So this is a principle on which we work tomorrow. And that is the shetik. They who enacted omru who ne'emor ha'betainas pesach v'sa is believed to make a kesuba even with the taina pesach v'sa. If it is in his power to remove the kesuba ma'al ilu chachomim betakon oson, then what did the Chachomim achieve with their takona? Shetiknu lo kesuba, that they were mesaken for her a kesuba? Answers the Gemara, Chazoka in Odom Terech Pisa'udo. Ein lochu shehitan Odom kach. We don't have to be afraid that a man will say Pesach Pusuach, Eleba Emes. Only if it is true that he's Pesach Pusuach. Sheim ho yoseu neosom itechilo. Because if he hated her already from before, then he wouldn't have taken all the trouble in the kesuba to and marry her and lose the whole seuda for nothing. That all the big celebration and all the money it cost him would have been for nothing if his intention was to divorce on the morrow. But he would have divorced her before he made the wedding, the big wedding. So therefore, when on the the morning after the wedding night, he says, Pesach Pusuach Matzosi, because of this Chazoka we believe. And then says the Gemara, since it is that the Konas Chachomim, she claims only from Ziburis, that is from third grade, Elominar Ziburis, Imbos Libos Kesuboso, if she comes to claim a kesuba, v'yeshlo idis v'ziburis u'beinanis, and the husband has, whether it is immovable property or movable property, he has idis, that is first prime, v'ziburis, and that is third grade, u'beinanis and middle grade, eino yochol alom atein idis u'beinanis, v'shovyo, she can't say, give me the prime grade, or give me second grade, for the worth of my kesuba, elo imbo lite no ziburis b'shov yo yite. But if he wants to give her ziburis for its worth, he gives her ziburis. Asks the Gemara, my knoso, what kind of a penalty is the klema for that is to say, my posha, de ko kansino lei. What did he transgress that we punish him? That is the piece of Gemara. I'm not going to do the Tosfos. I'd rather do the Tosfos after we finish the next piece of Gemara. It's quite a simple piece of Gemara. Has anybody got any difficulty with it?
Just one practical question.
Yes.
The Ketubah is written for 200 or 100 Jews.
Yes.
So we're talking about whether she gets property that will be worth 200 or 100 Jews.
Yes, sir.
So what does it matter if it's first or third grade material? It's simply if it's third grade, you're going to get more of it.
No, it makes a very big difference. Afterwards, there's a test that this test that deals with it. Makes a very big difference. For example, David, let us say, you want to get away quickly, and I owe you $1,000. You want to get away very quickly, and I can give it to you. I haven't got $1,000. I can give it to you in a diamond, or I can give it to you in Kruger Rand. Which would you take? And you've got to get away quickly.
Well, I would take the Kruger Rand.
Of course, why?
Because it's easier to transport.
Of course. This is the thing. He's divorced her. We are chos al kvodo shel bas Yisrael. We are very concerned about the honor of a bas Yisrael. We are very concerned about her position. We are concerned about what's going to happen to her. She's a widow. She's a divorcee. She's a widow. We want to give her the opportunity to get married soon again. And she's landed with something that it's difficult to dispose of. So it's a big difference. It's not just that you follow. It's a question of how one disposes of it. But that comes afterwards in the test, because we'll get that coming
up. It's always understood that the whole thing, that it has to be in cash. Today isn't the usual tikkah.
Well, you know, I must tell you that today, you know, we are not in, we haven't got our own way of doing things. We are in Golus. We are not in only in the Gola, which is a geographical expression, a geographical concept. They aren't prepared to use the word concept, because in any case we hope it's going to be aborted. So we've got the idea of the geographical golus, and in addition to that there is the principle or the idea of the gola. We are in the gola, and you can be in golus where we are, and we are in Gola. But you can be in Eretz Yisrael, and you can also be in the Gola. You can also be in Golus in Eretz Yisrael. You can be in Eretz Yisrael, and if you live in the wrong place, let us say you live in Ein Harod. There is a place called Ein Harod, isn't there? Are we pardon?
Lovely place.
Geographically, from the place. You live in a place of Ein Harod. If you live in that place of Ein Harod, you most probably won't get anything kosher there, isn't it?
No, they have now the hashgacha from a fuga for the parents that they become.
For the parents,
a rabbi comes from a fuga, and he does hashgacha there.
Yes.
And anybody who wants to now in Ein Harod, any such place now, can ask for and get kosher food.
Yes.
I say that the number of people who ask is decreasing among the younger generation.
But I don't think it's encouraged.
I think it's really a personal option.
Yes, and if a person wants to sit and learn Gemara 4 hours a day, they're not going to encourage it.
Yavne did not encourage either.
Well, you're quite right.
Work.
You are quite right. It's all part of it, you see. So what I'm saying is that we are in Gauls today. We are in the exile. Wherever you are in the exile. Because we can't practice the Torah as it should be practiced. We haven't got the power, we haven't got the means. I'm afraid to say, even if we've got the knowledge, we haven't got the understanding for it. And I've never been one of those who has been so insistent that the Torah, the law of the Gemara has got to become the law of the state. I would be more insistent if I were happier that we had the people for it. We had the people for it. You know the story that they tell about after the war, Germany was on top of the world, and all the countries that lost the war, particularly all the countries that lost the war were on top of the world. There were the Marshall Plans and all sorts of things. And poor Israel had nothing at all and was suffering. So they suggested to Israel that she should make a war against America. And they lose the war, and they the Prime Minister said, with our muscle we can still win the war.
He said that. Then we would have to rebuild them.
To win the war. I mean, so, you know, I feel very much the same. The religious parties. Well, I'm always afraid.
No one.
So it's all right, you know. They can't win the election. They can't. I'm always dead scared at what will happen with our muscle. They can still win an election, and we've got a government of the religious parties. I don't want it. I don't want a government of religious parties. I want them to be in the government. I want them to have some kind of say. I want them to be able to threaten. I want them to be able to demand. I want them to be able to get something. But that they should be government, I'm dead scared of that. And I'm always afraid the Sitra Achra, who knows? The Sitra Achra can come in and one day they can really win the old election and be in power. I don't want that. And the reason I don't want it is because we don't know, we've gone so far that we don't know how to handle it. I'll explain it to you later this evening. How far we've gone that we just don't know how to handle these things. The Gaudi said, when Yitzhak Hashem and Moshiach comes, there will be a very big change. But I would like to see a turn of events already before Moshiach comes. Right. Now, that is as far as that is concerned. May I go on a little bit further?
One more question.
Yes, certainly, Phil.
So far, with the Gemara and with Rashi,
yes.
Is there anything then that we know that wouldn't prevent everybody from coming and saying Pesach Pesuah?
Yes. Well, first of all, there are several things. I mean, a person, if he says Pesach Pesuach Motsosi, and he's not a Kohen,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Then he can say Pesach Pesuach Motsosi, but he's not believed to reduce the Kesuvah, because he hasn't got a Chazokah. He hasn't got a Chazokah that he doesn't lose anything by saying it. If he loses a tremendous amount by saying it, that is a that is evidence that's saying the truth.
Right.
But if he doesn't, then he can't. And if we say that Kesuvah is Midoraisa, then you've got to have, as Rashi says, Eidus Yedua. And according to Tosfos, Kesuvah is Midoraisa, so the whole thing works differently. So there are lots of differences. When it comes to the actual Halacha, which I'll see how far you'll be able to understand the Gemara, and I may discuss some aspects of the Gemara, of the Halacha. When it comes to aspects of the halacha, the whole thing turns out differently.
So now, it's only when he has a loss.
Are we
pardoned? It's only when he has a loss that he's believed.
Yes, and it must be a big loss.
Yes, right.
And we discussed it, what would happen if he didn't pay for the wedding. He's a Kohen and he didn't pay. His father-in-law paid for the wedding. He's not believed. He hasn't got the chazokah there. You follow?
Yes.
That's the way it works. And that is why I think you're beginning to see something that I haven't discussed with you at all. If I may just interrupt for a few moments. And you know, I do these interruptions in order to broaden your horizons. But I understand more. You know, we do Gemara and then we do Rashi. Rashi is the exposition of the Gemara. And I've started introducing you very gently. I've tried to introduce you a little bit to Tosfos. And Tosfos is already the analysis of it. You know, when we are dealing with a posek, when we are dealing with a person like the Rambam, or we are dealing, I'm not going earlier poskim, I'm not going now to the Rif and to the Baal HaLochos Gedolos. I'm starting from the Rambam. The Rambam is really the end of the the end of the period of the Gaonim and the beginning of the period of the Rishonim. 11th century, from the year 1000 onwards, that is the Rif. But you take the Rambam, and when you come to think of it, what the Rambam did, he was his own exponent, he was his own commentator, he was his own novelist, he was his own analyst. And when you get a suck of the Rambam, then you've got to work out the Gemara, you've got to work it out, and with the analysis of the Gemara, then you begin to understand the Rambam's own analysis, and that is what we do. But it's only with the analysis of the Gemara, for example, even as we are discussing here, we are making our own analysis. It's a simple analysis, but it's very important. It's just come up. What happens if the father-in-law pays for the wedding and not the chosen pays for the wedding? And he says, Pesach Pesuach Motzosi, he's not believed. Not at all. And if he's a Kohen and he says, Pesach Pesuach Motzosi, he is believed as far as to make a rasura to him. But if he didn't pay for the and that is because Shav Yorecha Tichod Yisuro, as we've learned, but he's not believed to reduce a kesuvah because he hasn't lost it. And all these different things can come in. But that we get from an analysis, and this is just a simple analysis that we have made as we are learning the pshat of the Gemara. And so we get deeper and deeper into it. It's Daniel's. You know, I don't expect you to know everything that we are saying because you've come into it, but you should always be able to learn something during a shiur. Are you learning anything?
Yeah.
You're getting something also. Are you getting something?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mr. Williamson? What is your first name, Mr. Williamson?
Robert.
Are you getting something, Robert? You must, even at this stage, you must be able to get something from the shiur. Have you got the idea? Fine. Now, let us go further. Now we've got Tono. Says the Gemara, we learned in a Beraisa.
Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel.
I'm sorry, yes. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Kesubis Isho Minatero. This is a Beraisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omes kesuvas isho min haTorah. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that the kesuva of a woman is from the Torah. So he disagrees with the previous memra, and he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Elozor. He says kesuvas isho is from the Torah. Asks the Gemara, Umi Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Ochi? Did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that the kesuba of a woman is from the Torah? The whole time, you didn't we learn in a Beraisa? Kesef Hishko Kemoa Rabbisulis. When it is speaking about a mefuto, what is a mefuto again?
Seduce.
A seduced girl, a girl who is seduced, a man seduces a girl. Then it says he must pay her silver shkoli according to the moer of Basulas. Now, I translate the word moer as dowry. It might not be dowry, it might be.
Dowry, what the woman brings, we call this bride price.
That I was going to say bride price. All right, it's bride price. Use the word bride price is a better word for it. It says he must pay silver shkolim, kesef hishko, he must weigh out shkolim in silver, kamoa rabesulos, according to the bride price of a besulo. Now, when it says that, and it's speaking about mefuto, what is it that's lacking there? An important piece of information that is lacking there. How much it is? It says what he's got to give. He's got to give $1. How many dollars has he got to give it? Harry, are you with us or aren't you with us? You weren't here last week, so you've missed this.
No, I think I'm following what's going on.
You're following what's going on, yes.
But don't we know from many other places, including right above, what the bride price of Basulas is?
No. Well, we don't know.
We don't know whether it's...
We don't even know from here. You don't forget, now we are in Shemos. So we are... We go through Shemos and it speaks about Mefutof. It speaks about a girl who's being seduced. And her seducer must pay silver shkolim according to the bride price of a besula. We don't know how many silver shkolim he's got to pay her. And we don't know, Avram, are you with me? And we don't know what the bride price of a besula is. But the Baraita, this, and I'm learning this Baraita strictly according to Rashi, is he says, Sheyehei zeh kamoa rabesulos, that this amount must be kamoa rabesulos. But what is moa rabesulos? He says, moa rabesulos, and the moa rabesulos is kozeh. Is the kozeh is like anuso, which is discussed in Devarim. And in the case of a nuso, and Rashi quotes it, in the case of a nuso, it says, he must give her chamishim kesef, 50 silver. But it doesn't say, 50 he's got to give her, but it doesn't say, dinorim, must he give her dimes, or must he give her, what do you call those short things, small things?
Quarters.
Nickels. He doesn't say that he's got to give her nickels or dimes or quarters or dollars. He doesn't say silver. Once upon a time they used to have silver nickels, I suppose. Doesn't say silver, but he's got to give it. What? So it says there, but we know that it's dollars.
If it says yishkol, doesn't that imply a shekel?
Yes, but it says that only by mefuto. It says, each shkolim, but it doesn't say how many shkolim. Dollars, it doesn't say. Silver, dollars, but it doesn't say how many.
In Anuso,
where it speaks about Anuso, it says 50 he's got to give.
Yeah.
So we know, we put the two together, and we know it's 50. But we also know, so we do it like this. Kesef yishko kamo rabesulos. In the case of Mefuto, it says it's got to be shkolim, like the bride price of a besulo. Sheyehaze, that what he gives a mefuto, a seduced girl, must be kamoa rabesulos. The shekolim, the amount of the bride price of a besulo. Umoa rabesulos, and the bride price of besulos is kozeh, like this that is mentioned with the anuso. There it is mentioned 50. He's got to give her 50. So we know that it is 50 shkolim. So we know that the amount he's got to give her, mefuto, a seduced girl, is 50 shkolim, and that is kamoa rabesulos, like the bride price of a besula. So a bride price of a besula is 50 shkolim. So we know that it's midoraisa. Have you got the story? Yes?
Where does it specify inside in the Gemara here that we're dealing specifically with a mafuta?
Because it's got, I know that from the Torah O. It says, Shmos Kof Beis.
So that's just that reference. That it doesn't reference. Mention inside.
No,
that
no it says, Kesef Yishol. But Kesef Yishol Gemara Besulos, if you look up in Shmos, those four words are there.
I see.
And those four words are not with Anusa.
And Anusa is a forced woman.
Anusa is a forced woman, which is discussed in Devarim. It's discussed in another place altogether, you see. But that is the way the Torah works. It discusses Anusa in one place and Nafut in another place, and we are able, by words, we see redundant words, similar words, and we work on similar words and redundant words. We know that the one supplements the other. Yes, Phil?
Rabbi, do we know any connection between the 50 and the 200 yet or not?
Yes, we know that when it speaks about Anusa, it says it must be 50, but it doesn't say 51.
No,
when it speaks about Mefuto, it says it must be Shkolin, but we don't know how many. So we know that by Mefuto there must be 50 Shkolin, and by Anusa there must be 50 Shkolin.
Okay, but now do we know anything about how does that tie to the 200? I don't.
Then I'm coming to the madness. Then it says, Kamoar Habasulas, according to the Moar Habasulas. Now you want to know how it ties up to the 200.
Yeah.
The way it ties up to the 200 is that these are Shkoli. The 200 are Zuzim, not Shkoli. So I suppose there are four Zuzim to a shekel.
Sounds like it works out that way.
It works out, or five, what would it be? No, four. Four, then it works out. That's the way it ties up to the 200, you see? So, that is what Rav Shimon. So it says, Kes of Hishko, Kamo Rabasula, Shehevi, Kamo Rabasula, Sumo Rabasula, because there, Mikan, Somchu Chachomim, from here, the Chachomim relied on the Kesubas Ishamina Torah. The Chachomim said Kesubas issues from the Torah. Now, who says Kesubas issues from the Torah according to this Beraisa?
Chachomim.
Now the Beraisa continues. Rav Shimon Gamliel aimer Kesubas issue ain't no medivrei Torah ele medivrei Sofrim. But Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that the Kesubo is an each of a woman is midrabonon. But now we see a funny situation.
He's contradicted himself.
One variety we've got that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that the kesuba of a woman is from the Torah, and here we've got another variety that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that the kesuba is Isha Midrabonon, and the Chachomim say it's Midra Torah. Answers the Gemara, Epoch. Turn it round. All you've got to do is turned around, instead of saying the Chachomim, say Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Instead of saying Rabban Shimon Gamliel, say Chachomim. So it works. The Chachomim, so it's April. And I was asked last week, I was asked the question, can you just turn around like that? How do you do this thing? And I told you the story of Rabbi Auerbach and what's his name, the Rabbi from Yavne. Goldberg. And Rabbi Goldberg and Rabbi Goldberg was so excited about something that he explained, and he came down and he told him, Rabbi, and Professor Auerbach was there, and I was there, Professor Auerbach and Professor Talmud at the Hebrew University, and I was there, and I got so excited about it, and Rabbi Goldberg was so excited about it, and Professor Auerbach was as cold as a salmon out of the Alaskan waters. Rabbi Goldberg said to him, he says, I'll never forget the words he used. He said, "It's wounded me, Rabbi." I'm amazed. He said, "I'm amazed. I've worked so hard, and it answers a difficulty in the Rambam." And you're not even moved by it. And it's very simple. Rabbi Auerbach was the person, if you would have asked him, when was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel born, he'll tell you on the 16th day of Tammuz in this and this year, so many years after, exactly. What time?
So he said, I'm not quite sure the time. It might have been 4:27, it might have been 4:28 in the afternoon. One of them, I'm not quite sure, but that he can tell you. Did he wear shoes or did he wear sandals? He'll tell you everything about it. It's a different school. He's a professor of Talmud at the university. He's got a scientific approach. To him, if Rav Shimon Gamliel said it, or the Chachomim said it, this is the end of the world and the beginning of the world. You must know who said it. To us, who said it is not important. It's interesting, it's important. But the more important thing, and the most important thing, what did he say? And after you know what did he say, then what exactly did he mean? That's not Professor Auerbach. I want to tell you that Professor Auerbach knows his stuff as nobody else does. But we wanted to know something, we used to ask him, where is this Gemara? He tells you immediately. Is there a Yerushalmi about this? Yes, there it is. Tells you immediately where and what. He knows it. He's got it at his fingertips. And he's a gentleman. He's a very fine person. And he's a frum person. He's a frum person. But it's another school. He does it. He works. Oh, thank you very much. He works it altogether differently. So, when it comes like this, this is a Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's handed down. It's possible that it could be that it goes wrong. It's quite possible that a thing like this can go wrong. You see, the Chachomim said, that's not the important thing. The most important thing was, what did he say? And it doesn't end there. And when we know what did he say, it's only then that the whole thing begins. What does it mean? Then it's so important. Who said it? I remember what a shock I got when I was at school. And I read about a big controversy that Shakespeare didn't write the plays. Shakespeare didn't write it. Bacon wrote it. Not even Bacon, somebody else wrote it. He didn't write the plays. So I remember we had a most remarkable English master school. In those days they used to call the teachers masters. What do they call them now? Masters. They used to call them masters, you see. And we had a person who was the English master, was a most remarkable person. And I went to him and I said, what he knew all about it. So he said, so what does it matter? It doesn't change the words. It doesn't change the play. So what does it matter? So he didn't write it, somebody else wrote it. And if we didn't know who wrote it, it doesn't make any mention about it. And it struck me, that's right. So what's all the fuss about? So then it struck me, young as I was, good heavens, to write a whole book to prove that Shakespeare didn't write the plays, I'd rather do what Brandes did, George Brandes. He goes and he writes a book on the plays and he explains the plays. That's more important. Who cares who wrote the plays? And I threw the other book away and I got myself a Brandes and I enjoyed it. It had much more meaning. It's a different school of thought. The one I think they call it scientific. Is that what they call it? The scientific approach. Not your type of science. Not your type of science. They call it not your type of science. They say it's a scientific approach.
And they're divided now into Marlowians and Baconians.
It's a scientific approach. Who cares what it is?
The funniest one thing with this is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, because of his unique position,
yes.
Would something said by him carry more weight?
Oh, yes, tremendous.
So therefore, we're coming to that.
Professor Aviato, you're coming to that.
Rabbi.
You see, he was given some pills to take during the 12 weeks you weren't here.
I told you, your son gave you some injections.
All right. So, it's not so bad. Everything helps. what Torah, you've got no idea what Torah is. No idea what it is. A person takes, the only thing is to understand it well. Echod ha-mar be-ve, echod ha-mam it. It's not the quantity that matters. What it is to be able to know and understand it. And after you understand it, to be kone it, to acquire it, it's your own. That's it. Even if you stay away from a Torah for a David, I think you better sit there. Then if you stay away. But you're quite right, when you say you come to sit up what you want to say.
So I want to know, what is the significance of whether it's from the Rabbonim or from the Arise?
What is, well,
what are the consequences?
For example, one difference is that it is from the Ziburis and Yiddish, you keep it all from there. That's all one
right.
difference.
All right.
But there are very many differences.
Is that primarily our concern right now?
No, no.
Is that what the discussion's about?
No, our concern is how strong is her position. If it's from the Torah, then her Kesuba, we need far stronger evidence to reduce her Kesuba or make her lose her Kesuba.
I see.
If it's from the Torah. If it's from the Rabbonim, then they could have made it a bit easier. Don't forget, you see, there's another thing that I didn't explain to you, but now that you bring this up, I've got to explain to you. As in everything else, you've got to be careful not to overdo your case. The overstatement can be very, very dangerous. Overstatement, overdoing. For example, what we want to protect the woman, we want to... that this is a proper marriage and we say that she's got to have a kesuba. So, you can make a situation and there's got to be the cover, the necessary cover that you give the girl and all that. So, look here, you know what I can do? I can say, look here, girl, she's got to have a kesuba of, let us just give a nominal figure for today's values. Kesuba, if you marry a girl, she's a basula, $500,000. Why so much? Covered of her, that she feels secure. So what are you doing? What are you doing? You're creating a position that people are not going to marry her. People are not going to marry her. That they do that with rent control, the hub field. It's the same thing, you see. You do a rent control and you keep it down and you keep it down and you keep it down because you've got to help the poor person. The result is that the rich person who does the building stops doing building. And the result is that the poor person, he's got nowhere to live now. He's got to go to the Salvation Army. And in the Salvation Army, terrible things happen. They beat them up, they come together, they beat one another up, and the Salvation Army is now in difficulties. And then there's no room in the Salvation Army, they've got to sleep on the beaches, and all this sort of thing. Why? Because you want to protect the poor person. You've got to do it with intelligence. And if you do it only with feeling and with no intelligence, as I've often explained to you, there's right feeling and there's wrong feeling. You break you make a mess of the whole situation, the whole housing situation. Yeah, too, you've got to be careful. Give her a kesuba, yes. But don't give her the type of kesuba that a man can't marry her, even if he wants to marry her. I haven't got it. I can't put myself into that position. You can't do that either. So you've got to strike a happy medium here. You follow, Philip?
Mm-hmm. You used two words. You said reduce and lose the kesuba.
Yes.
Does that mean the same thing?
No, it doesn't mean the same thing. Lose the kesuba is where she doesn't get anything at all of the kesuba. And reduce the kesuba, for example, we've got...
Under what circumstances would that occur?
Well, there's a Mount Omar who posts this quote that we're going to meet later.
We haven't talked, when we said Hesed Masuda, I mean, did we mean to lose it or to reduce it?
We working to reduce it. I was very careful to reduce it.
Okay.
The Tosfos brings the case, that second Tosfos brings a case where according to Aman de Omer further on, according to one authority further on, if he says...
It's okay, you don't have to complicate it. I just need to clarify because so far for us, we've only been talking about reduction from 200 to 100.
Let me give you a case that it won't contradict that at all.
Yeah.
Let us say... A woman has got a kesuba, 200, and after they've been married a few years, she has an association with another man. And he divorces her. No kesuba, she's lost the kesuba. There she loses a kesuba.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that.
No. We're speaking case, yes. Now, so one case is April. Is David coming back?
Yes, he is.
He's coming back here.
Yes.
All right. Right. Now it says the Gemara, asks the Gemara, Umay chozi te ipchas bas reisa epech komaiso. Says the Gemara, what? We've got two braises. David, I happen to ask if you're with us.
I'm so close to you that it's wrong.
Now, so Gemara, George, I'm not asking you too many questions, I'm sort of just giving you a chance to catch up. Is it making any sense yet?
It is. I don't understand everything, but mostly.
Yes, well, you know, it's...
David Dawson can explain.
So, now the Gemara says, so we've got one brighter A, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says the Kesuba is the Raiso, we've got the Raiso B, where the Chachomim says it's the Raiso, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's the Rabbono. So what we do is we say we are going to leave Raiso A, we're not going to touch Raiso A, but what we are going to do is with Raiso B, we're going to turn it around and say the Chachomim says it's the Rabbono, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's the Raiso. Now, says the Gemara, why do it that way? Leave that Baraisa as it is, and turn this Baraisa, say, Rabbi Shimon Gambiel says, Kesuba's Ishamidrabona, turn that one round. Says the Gemara, and here comes an answer to your question,
why
Professor.
Why should they want to do it?
Are we pardon?
Why should they want to do that?
Do what?
In other words, take Baraisa number one, and say, learn that Epoch instead of Baraisa two.
Because it would seem that there is more authority in Baraisa number two. Baraisa number two is not a floating Baraisa. And Baraisa number one is a floating Baraisa. You know what I call a floating Baraisa?
No. We have a Tana behind it.
I beg your pardon?
That it's listed by a Tana?
No. Now, I'll explain to you, those are just names that I've given it, and I've given it for reasons of convenience. We've got the Mishnah. Fine. Outside of the Mishnah, belonging to that period, all the works where the works of the Ktanoim have been collected. That's really what the Mishnah is. The works of the Ktanoim, what the Ktanoim have said, has been collected. It's collected into the Mishnah. In addition to that, we have got the Tosefta. Now, for example, here we've got the Tosefta in my Kesubas. Here's the Tosefta, you see. Here are Baraisas that are collected in a Tosefta. So a Baraisa means it's outside of the Mishnah. In addition to that, we've got the Mechilto. And we've got the Sifri, and we've got the Sifro. What they are isn't important at this stage. I want to discuss them with you. So these are, other words, collections of what the Chachomim, what the Tanoim said, but were not brought into the Mishnah. So we've got four other works where they are corrected. Then there are things that the Tanoim said, which weren't put into any one of those works, but they continued only as Torah Shebar Peh.
They still continue. The first one, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Kesubas Isho, Mina Toro, that's not in any one of those works. It's a floating baraita. It was just continued. We've got it by about there. So if we are going to turn around, he said, the Gemara asks, then why don't you turn that one round? Because that one's a floating baraita.
What's this one?
The Rambam Shimon Gamliel, only that one phrase.
Right.
Because it's a floating baraita, and it's easier to work. It hasn't got, it's not in a definite place, it isn't, it's less authoritative there.
So what I'm asking is, where is the second baraita?
In the Gemara.
In the second baraita, it's quoted.
Common, not.
The Hatanyo. It's the second baraita, right?
Yes, and that is why it introduces it, the Hatanyo. There is a source for it. I don't know where it's going to be.
The other one has also a quote. It has Lakaman Nunvav. Has also in the Gemara.
Yes, but if you look there, you can't find it. If you look there, you won't find it. The whole Tanya, when it says Batanya, we learned in the Baraita. The other one doesn't even say Tanya, we learned in the Baraita. Yes. Now, asks the Gemara, Umay Chos is the Ibchas Basarai, so what makes you turn round the latter one, Epuch Kamaisa, turn round the first one? Answers the Gemara, Hoshamino Leila Rabban Chimen Gamliel de Omer Kasubis Ishomido Raisa. We have already heard that Rabban Shimon Gamliel said that a kesubah of an isha is from the Torah. We've got that from a Mishnah. So a Mishnah we'll certainly not tamper with. This none, because we learned in a Mishnah, Professor Yasser, are you with me?
Yes, yes.
Because we learned in a Mishnah, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and we no say no be moas to put kayo. One gives a moas to put kayo, and I explained to you what that is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah at the end of Kesubas, and the Mishnah at the end of Kesubas is as follows. You've got two countries nearby one another, Eretz Yisrael and Kibbutz Kayo, and they've got the same coin designation. That means they use shkolim in Eretz Yisrael, and they use shkolim in Kibbutz Kayo, in the same way as they use dollars in the States and they use dollars in Canada, and they're not the same value. So the money in Kibbutz Kayo was higher than the money in Eretz Yisrael. So if it says there that if a person marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael and divorces her in Kibbutz Kayo, he gives her the money of Eretz Yisrael. If he marries her in Kibbutz Kayo and divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, he gives her the money of Eretz Yisrael. So what does she get?
The lower.
She gets the lower currency. And here's another difference where it comes in, it writes with Rabbon and Philip. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if he marries her in Eretz Yisrael and he divorces her in Kibbutz Kayo, he gives her the money of Eretz Yisrael. If he marries her in Kibbutz Kayo and divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, he gives her the money of Kibbutz Kayo. That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says. Now, what is the difference between the two? The difference between the two is very simple. The Chachomim say that Kesubas Isho is Midrabono. So if Kesubas Isho is midrabonon, she gets the least always. If you say, but why should she get the least? Living in California, she'll get the least. What, is that the way the Torah treats women? Yes, yes. Because the Chachomim say, we instituted for her protection, but also for her welfare, for her benefit. But to introduce it for her protection and not for a benefit, we're not going to do that. We'll introduce it and people will be afraid to get married. They'll say we'd rather live single. It's cheaper. relatives, as singles, that we don't want. So we are very careful, and the Chachomim said, once it was introduced by the Chachomim, so the Chachomim said, we make a minimum, but we make it easy, we make it viable, yeah. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, it's midoraisa. Once it's midoraisa, as Rashi uses the word, edus yedua, you're dealing with something that's firm. You can't play about with this. And therefore, it is where the hischaibus took place. How do you say hischaibus in English?
Obligation.
Obligation. Where if he marries her in Eretz Yisrael, says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if he marries her in Eretz Yisrael and divorces her in Kibbutz Kayyof, where was the obligation made? Eretz Yisrael. So that it's Eretz Yisrael currency. So if he divorces her in Kibbutz Kayyof, he's got to pay her in Eretz Yisrael money. But if he marries in Kibbutz Kayyof and he divorces in Eretz Yisrael, where was the obligation made? In Kibbutz Kayyof, so he's got to give her money of Kibbutz Kayyof. But that's Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So we see from that Mishnah that Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that the tesuba of a woman is a din from the Torah. Can't be that. So we can't play about with this Baraisa. Because this Baraisa also says that Rav Shimon Gamliel says Kesubas Isha Midoraisa. This, we can't do anything with this Baraisa. But this Baraisa we can do something about. Because this Baraisa, something is wrong somewhere. If something is wrong somewhere, then by methods of elimination, it's only this one that there can be something wrong, and so we turn it around.
And we learn that out because of this other Mishnah.
That's right. So there, that is our guide. So we know. Mishnah says that Rav Shimon Gamliel, we must say that that's the difference between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachomim in that Mishnah. He says it's Midoraisa. So we know that he says it's Midoraisa. Yes. Yes, come on.
I have some difficulty with that. I can see that I can't see the similarity between Idus and Diburius and Mois Eretz Yisrael and Mois Kibbutz Kayyof. Because in Idus and Diburius, they both have the same value, it's only a difference of which one would be more negotiable.
Yes.
But over here, you're talking about actual different values. You're not talking, you're saying that you contracted out for 200 and you're not going to pay 200.
No, but the surface value is the same. In both cases, in Kibbutz Kayyof and...
But it's not really the same.
But that's like Yibutz.
It's not.
You, but you not, see, no? You
no,
see...
But they both have the same work.
Just look what happens. You worried about what the Chachomim say.
Yes.
Now, just look what happens. You say, if he marries an Eretz Yisrael and he divorces her in Kibbutz Kayyof, he's got to give her according to Eretz Yisrael money, says that. Is there any doubt about that?
No,
that's perfect. That's Scottish. Can't be any error. If he married her in Kibbutz Kayyof and he divorces her in Eretz Yisroel, where is he going to live? Where is she going to live?
In Eretz
Yisroel. In Eretz Yisroel. Paying in that currency.
But it seems to be going against a contractual obligation.
No. That's the way they met. Heim Omru Vaheim Omru. Heim Omru Vaheim Omru. They said, it's a principle on which we work. If it's a principle of the Torah, then we haven't got the right to make our own regulations, you see. But if the Chachomim said that the Gesubah of the Isha is reinstituted, then they make their own regulations. And they said, we institute it, but she always gets paid in the lower currency. That's a regulation. Why did they make that regulation? They made that regulation because they don't want to fall in between two stools. On the one hand, they're protecting the woman, and on the other hand, so that they say her husband mustn't be able to divorce her easily, she must have security. And on the other hand, we protect her to such an extent that she will never have a husband.
The difference can't be that great. It couldn't have been that great as well.
Whatever it was. What's the difference between Canada and
20 cents on the dollar?
As much as that?
Not even.
20%.
Is it 20%?
It's a lot. That's a lot.
It's not too much the difference. It's the principle, isn't it?
That's correct.
They can call the shot.
I understand that, but I don't see... I the difficulty I have is that for the, let's say, even 20%. Yes, 20%, I can't
see it.
I just
want to be sure about one thing, Saul. But you mustn't misunderstand me when I'm asking this question. Is it Californian influence, or is it... No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious, because, look here. There are things that took me 20 years to root out of my heads. There are translations that I had of Kumash. I had to work to rid myself of it, English translations which were wrong, before I rid myself of it. I was always going about with this, until I got the better of myself and I got it out of my system, sort of thing. You don't think it's that?
I haven't been here long enough. It may be Brooklyn. It could be just as bad.
Yeah, but this works out. This works out. That is the principle. It's the principle of Haim Omru Vaheim Omru. But they were careful. They said, look here, we mustn't be foolish over this. We can go to such an extent we can overstate. So they made it as easy as possible. And they made it because there's a, I've got to tell you the whole story. Little by little, you wheedle everything out of me. This is called the principle of chino. What does chino mean? Chay. Comes from chay. The principle of chino. And the principle of chino is that she should find grace in the eyes of men. In California, they use another word. They say that she should be desirable. We use the word chino. That there should be, she should find chen in the eyes of man. You see, and there, you know, when you, you know, I've heard, somebody said to me the other day, he was going out with a girl, and he stopped. And he came to me and he said, I suppose you're wondering why I've stopped. I said, well, I am wondering, I didn't want to say anything. He said, she's a princess. So I said, of course she's a princess. He said, Kvuda bat melech pnimo. He said, of course she's a princess. A Jewish daughter, a Jewish girl, a princess. He says, what do you understand by Kvuda bat melech pnimo? I said, what I understand is that when she goes out shopping, she goes out shopping very seldom, and when she goes out shopping with her mother together. He says, that's not the question. The question is where she goes shopping. I said, a bas melech, a princess, Macy's. He said, if she'd go to Macy's, I'd be satisfied. She doesn't go to Macy's. She says she will deign to go to Magnum's. He said, what is Magnum's? He says, it's an expensive shop. The same thing that you can get at Macy's and Magnum's, you pay 30% more for it. He said, I can't afford it. See, it's a question of chino. He doesn't... So this, and he dropped her. And he dropped her. She said, she's too expensive for me. He said, I can't, I'm living on a salary. He said, I can't do that. You see, I didn't go into it with him at all because I could see what was really worrying him. What was worrying him wasn't the 30% more. What was worrying him was the character of the person. That is what was worrying him. He said, I go into a shop, I go in, he tells me the name of the shop. And he said, I'll get everything. I said, he said, okay, and he goes extremely well dressed. That's true. He said, yeah, I'll go well dressed. And he said, I can't afford this. He said, but this is the question of chino. It's for that they said ziburis, that she gets from ziburis, to make it easier, that it's manageable, that she can easily dispose of it, and she's got money, and men will want to marry her. We are very interested in that. And we've got to strike the happy medium. On the one hand, that she's protected. On the other hand, that she's going to find a husband. Now, just let us...
Are we pardon? The reason why we reversed the last price, you know,
Yes, because we've got a Mishnah that says, I'm Chimim and Gamliel says that Kesuba is from the Talmud.
One was the Bryce and the Mishnah about the same time, and just one was set aside, one was.
But the Mishnah is more authoritative, first of all, from the point of view that Rabbi Yehuda Anossi took out and that put it in
there. Did you ask for the Bryce and the
Mishnah? No, they were done by others. That is one reason. The other reason is that if it is in a Mishnah, it has been better preserved. It's been better preserved if it's in the Mishnah, then they were more careful about it. See? Right.
This is an extremely elementary and basic question.
Goodbye, I hope you do well. Right.
I understand, of course, why there's it's an important distinction whether it's deraisa or derabanan.
Yes.
I do not understand, and I'm sure it's a very simple answer, why it's important who holds which way. Is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel more authoritative than the Chachamim? Or why is it so important for us to know who holds which way on this issue? In other words, isn't the key issue whether it's a deoraisa or a derabanan?
That's right.
And this is a very subsidiary issue.
Yes. Now, I'll tell you how that is going to work out. Tosfos touches that. You see, it's not an elementary question at all. It's got to do with the psak. There are authorities that we are inclined to paskin according to them. The final decision will be according to them. There are such authorities. Sometimes it is because they are later. Sometimes it is because of their authority. And now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is very, very strong. And when we discuss, is the Ksuba Bilarais or Midrabona, the final psak, what is the final psak? Tosfos says we go according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So it's important for us to get Rabbi Shimon Gamliel all lined up. So we've got Beraisa 1 and we've got Beraisa 2 and we've got a Mishnah and all Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that Kesuba is teaching in Beraisa. So we know at least that is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's view. Right. Now we also know that if it's between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachomim, we are inclined to paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. This is where we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. You follow? We've got the very first Mishnah in the Torah, in the Mishnayos. From when do we begin reading the Shema in the night? From the time that the Kohenim come in, that is from the time from nightfall. Until when? Rabbi Eliezer says, until 10 o'clock. Chachomim omri matchatos. Chachomim say to Tfilah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Shiyari Amud HaShachar. Until Amud HaShachar. And that's the way we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In this particular case, we say, in this particular place, we paskin like the Chachomim, not because you can't say the Shema later, but to avoid leaving it too long and then missing out on it. You see, but that it's not at all an elementary question, Michael.
Does it now follow, Rabbi, then, that you could have from the first grade
If we paskin, Tosfos paskins that the Kesuba midoraisa, that's the way Tosfos paskin. And when we put into our Kesuba, we put in midoraisa, the Chozi Lechi midoraisa, if she's a basula, we put in the Chozi Lechi midoraisa, that it's your due from the Torah. And if we put in that it's your due from the Torah, then the din is that she gets from Edis. She gets from the best. Right. Now, so that is why we do that. The boys Amor, and if you want to, you can see the Gemara. You don't have to turn the Baraita around. If you want to, you can say, Kulo Rabban Shimon Gamliel. The whole Baraita is he. The whole Baraita is Rabban Shimon Gamliel, but Hasuda Mechsera. And you know, it's very short, and there's something wanting in the Baraita. There are words wanting. The Hochi Ketonian, this is what it means to say. Mikan somcha chachomim b'kesuvas isha min haTorah. Until there, the Baraita stands as it is, and from this, the chachomim say, that the kesuba of a woman is mina Torah. But kesubas almono eino midivrei Torah. But say the Chachomim that the kesuba of almono is not from the Torah, eino midivrei Torah. That is from the Rabbono. She Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said kesubas almono eino midivrei Torah, eino midivrei Torah. And that's the end of that piece of Gemara. Got it? So, the only thing is, you've made me do something, gentlemen. You've made me go over this piece of Gemara, and the result of it is going to be that I'll have to go on with the Gemara. I won't be able to give you much chance for Chavrusa this afternoon. And you'll have to do the... yes? The Ibois Amor, and if you want to, you can say Kulo Rabban Shimon Gamliel. It is all Rabban Shimon Gamliel. The Chasuri Mechzera, and there is a part that is lacking. That from this part where it says Vikan Somchel Chachomim Kesibide Rabbon Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer Kesubas Ishu Einamadibre Elamadibre Selfrim. He says Emo Kulo Rabbon Shimon Ben Gamliel. All is Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that is, even that part that he says, that it's Midrabono, that is also Rabban Shimon Gamliel. But this is what he means. The Chasuri Metzor important, and there is something missing. The Hori Gittoni, and this is the way to learn it. Mikan Som Chachome Bekesubis Isha Minatero. Fine. Kesubis Almono Eino Midibre Tero Ela Midibre Sotri. But say the Chachome, the Kesuba of Almono is is from the Rabbona. She Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Kesubas Almona, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says Kesubas Almona ain't no medivrei Torah ela medivrei Sefer, and we leave it as it is. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is not speaking about the Kesuba of the Besulo, but he's speaking about the Kesuba of the Almona. Got it, Philip?
Yes.
And that is the end of this little piece of Gemara. Just let us do the Rashi. Mina Toro, gentlemen, if you give me your attention, Mina Toro, Mikesef Hishkel, Kidla Kamon. So where do we learn that Kesubas Isho is made of rice according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Because it says Mikesef Hishkel. Kesef Hishkel, Bimafuto Neemad. It's speaking in the case of Mafuta. Kamoa Abasulos, the Mepake.
He's the one
who stays. Yes, that's right, yes. You're quite right. Speaking of the Mepake, the Emai. Kamoa Rabasulas, the bride price. Professor Eviasa, could you just help your neighbor?
Sorry. Mepake, the Emai. Some water.
That is mentioned in the case of Ma'anes, where he forces her, where he gets 50 kesef, Bishmil Moar Besuleho. It is on account of Moar Besuleho. There he's got to marry her, in the case where he forces her, he's got to marry her, and he's got to give her a kesuba of a Besula, although she isn't a Behula, but who is the one who didn't made it that she's not a Behula? He made it, so he's got to give her a Kesuba of Besula, like his payer, that is Nun. She Yehezeh Kemora Besulas, Hikisha Kosov, Knas HaMefateh, Li Knas HaOnes. The Knas, the penalty of the seducer, is the same as the penalty of him who forces her. Mala alon nun is the same as in the case of forcing her, it's 50, afkan 50. So in the where it's seduced, it's 50. Umar kesef or umar kan shekolim, and as in the case of where he forces her, he's got to pay shekolim, dichsiv hishko, where he causes written hishko, Aflahalon, so also further on, where it's speaking about the Ma'anes, and it says 50, Shkolim. It's speaking about Shkolim, Delo Tema Moz, that you shouldn't say it's Moz, but it's Shkolim, it's the larger corn. Mikan Shomchu Midakorile Moar. Since it calls it Moar, they say that it is Midoraita. No se nobi Moz kaput Kayo, but Perik Basra Tanan. In the last chapter of Kesubas we learn, No so Isha be Eretz Yisrael be Girsha be Kuput Kayo. He married a woman in Eretz Yisrael and he divorces her in Kuput Kayo. No se nobi Moz be Eretz Yisrael, he gives her Eretz Yisrael. Shehen Kalos, because they are easier. No so Isha be Kuput Kayo, if he marries her in Kuput Kayo be Girsha be Eretz Yisrael, also no se nobi Moz Eretz Yisrael. Although he be married her in Kuput Kayo, nevertheless, if he divorces an Eretz Yisrael, he gives an Eretz Yisrael. Minyan ha-kosef b'kesubo. He gives her the amount that is written in the kesuba. Das lino l'kulo, because we take a lighter view. Rabban Shimon Gamliel menosin l'mos k'put kayo. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says we give her from Moes k'put kayo. She nishtabed, because the obligation was... because he became obligated to those that money, kishar milvo, like any other loan, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is of the opinion that Kesubas Isha is midoraisa. That's the whole piece of Gemara. Not difficult.
I found out where Kapakayas was.
Where is it?
It's in Asia Minor. It appears a number of times. In fact, it appears in Zavar in Oculus.
In Oculus, Kapakayas.
Yeah.
I have a different reading of where it is. I have it just northwest of Baghdad.
Baghdad is directly south of the Caspian Sea, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Or even southwest of it, isn't it? Perhaps even the southwest, a little southwest. Tehran would probably be directly south of the Caspian Sea. I think it's even southwest.
That's still called Asia Minor, too, because it's not in that peninsula.
No, that's Asia Minor.
I might confess that I studied the university and studied...